All right, tonight we discuss Malchus Beis David, its 43rd in the series. Malchus Beis David is one of the central concepts in Jewish life. We mention it so often that we don't think about it. It's really the last of the Bakashas in the Shmon Esrei. Samach David Abducha Meheris HaTzmiach, V'karno Turim Bishur Secho. Birchas HaMazon as well. Rechem Hashem Elokeinu, Yisrael Amecho, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have compassion on the royal house of David HaMelech, which to our eyes doesn't exist. I mean, to have Rachmanus on Klal Yisrael, on Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, we can understand that Rachmanus on Malchus Beis David, which is not apparent to us, is a little harder to understand. In fact, the whole notion of Malchus Beis David, not just Malchus David. So David was anointed by Shmuel HaNavi. But the notion of Malchus Beis David, that David should be the king and his heirs, the kings of Israel, forever and ever, that idea sneaks up upon us suddenly in the part of the Navi we were reading last week. It's Shmuel Beis Perek Zayin. So there, you remember from last time, David had said that he will build the Beis HaMikdash, and Nasan first said it's a good idea, and then at night, Vayhi, it's Pasuk Dalet, Vayhi Balayla Havu, number one, God speaks to Nasan and tells him, Lech v'martel avdiel David komar Hashem, ha'totim li bayis l'shifti, you're going to build a house in which I will dwell. It can't be, and the reasons are offered, but now God offers David not so much a consolation, but a clarification. I've taken you from the sheep, from following the flocks, Lios Nagid al Ami al Yisrael, that you should be the ruler over my people, over Kal Yisrael. So the Malbim says in 4, that God says, David is different, that I've taken you to be separate from the flock, a ruler over the flock. She'incha melech ben melech. You're not the son of royalty. Ki ayisa roebetzo, you were just a shepherd. Bein mitzad malchuscha behoveh lekachticho lios nagid alami. Even though you weren't from royalty, and now you're not royalty either, I've taken you to be the ruler over my people. Ata, ata, rak nagid aleihem, v'lo kibluch al ofen shetimloch malchus kayemus l'dor dorim. Up till now, they've accepted you to be the king. What happens when the king dies? He's replaced by another king. So in fact, that had been the tradition, if you could call it that, up to that point. Shaul was appointed the king. He was deposed, he died, and David became the king. There was no familiar relationship between David and Shaul. Now it's going to be different. Now you're Nagid Alami, but something more than that as well. And the Navi continues, Ve'yemcha b'chol asher alachta, I'll be with you in whatever you do. Ve'achrisa eschay levechem yipanecha, I'll destroy your enemies before you. Ve'asis l'cha shem gadol k'shem agdolim asher baretz, and I'll give you a great name, great reputation among the great men of the world. That, Rashi says in 3, Kishem HaGdolim, Zeh Sheomer Magen David. Blessed is God as a shield of David. So David became known for his relationship with the Creator. Further, V'samtim HaKom L'Amili Yisrael, Tativ V'Shachan Tachtov, L'Rigazo. The Navi relates to David all these brachos. God will give him a serene, at least in terms of external enemies, monarchy. V'yigid lecha Hashem ki bayis yaseh lecha Hashem. And God will tell you, He'll give you a house, a dynasty. And when you die, then v'kimosi zarcha acharecha, I will raise up after your offspring, ashe yetzei mimeyecha, someone who be born from your loins, not born yet. Shlomo wasn't born yet. and I'll make his kingdom firm, and then who yivne bayis l'shmi? He's the one who'll build the base of Mikdash. And the Navi says, Ani eyelo la'av v'yeli l'bein. I'll be his father, he'll be my son. So the Malbim says again in 5, Basher hevtiach lo nitzchius ha'melucha, as God is promising David eternity in his kingdom, Malchus beis David is skonein al shnei amudim, shema chesed v'emunah. Malchus beis David is founded upon two pillars, chesed, kindness, and emunah, faith. That is to say, v'emunah hi mashi yaselo ayidei avtocha uvashkef al maso. Emunah really here means loyalty, that God will ensure David's kingdom, his heirs, descendants, because of this promise and their good deeds. V'chesed hu mashi yaseh mitzad ha'chesed levad mizula sashkef al maso. In addition to emunah, God's loyalty, so to speak, there'll be also God's chesed. But if in fact it arises, ushnei eli yitzushi avutu lefamim, if sometimes the heirs of David, as happened, were unfaithful and unworthy of melucha, they'll retain it out of chesed. And if they are worthy, they retain it out of emunah. That is the commitment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes. Ani eyelo le'av, she'ashgiach alo bechem loso ke'ov al beno. That as soon as the child begins to stray, God will be mochiach them to make sure that they never completely lose touch with the Derech HaTorah. And then the Navi continues in Pasuk Tezayin, which is the pasuk which marks this turning point in history. V'ne'mon be'ischo mamlachtecha ad olam lifanecha. Your dynasty and your kingdom shall remain steadfast before you forever. Kisacho yenochon ad olam. Your throne will be firm forever. Forever is a long time. So here David is just the king for a short time. It's a few years. And there's no reason to assume that his kingship will end in any way, any other way than kingships usually end. There'll be a few heirs, and they'll be overthrown by someone else. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise here, which becomes ingrained in Jewish history. One of the animating covenants in all of world history, by the way, because Lahavdil, the Christians are based on this promise as well, that Malchus Beis David will exist forever. It's based on this pasuk, Kisacho yenochon ad olam. Now, that is our subject for tonight. God tells David he'll not build the base of Mikdash, rather he will have his throne endure forever into the distant, unimaginable future. Yes?
On one side.
Yes, well, in 2, there's a very long soliloquy of David HaMelech here in which he basically accepts and says thank you out of humility that he's not asked to do anything, he just, this will be, and he thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this undeserved kindness. So he accepts, but you're correct, he's not asked to do anything on his part. It's a commitment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes. Much like with Avram, it's a similar thing. Avram didn't commit to do anything when he was chosen. God said he knew. He knows, but Avram, there's no bilateral relationship necessarily. David too, Malchus Beis David is established unilaterally by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, why that is, we have to understand. On what is it based? I mean, why all of a sudden does this promise enter world history? Not just Jewish history, but world history. And why is it made? Why is it necessary that this be one Malchus that endures forever? In fact, why not just say, whoever is the best person should be the king of the generation? Let the Sanhedrin choose who's the best king. Why must it be hereditary? Why must it be related to the family of David HaMelech? That's our subject. I just want to dramatize, if I can, the extent to which this promise not only endures in Jewish history, but in fact is a foundation halach as well. Look at number 6. It's the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin. Kevan Shenimshach David Zocha BeKeser Malchus. As soon as David was anointed, he merited the crown of royalty. And his malchus is for him and his children, his male sons, his sons, adolam, forever. Shenemar, the pasuk here, kisachoye nachon adolam. Of course, the only, just because you're a Ben David doesn't mean you're necessarily worthy of melucha. By the way, you always have people floating around the Jewish community claiming descent from David HaMelech. Ever hear that? All right, so what does that entitle them to in Jewish life? Nothing. Lo zocha l'ksherim. Only a kosher can be the melech. Afal pisho zocha l'ksherim lo tikorei samlucha mizera David olam. Even though a kosher, only a kosher can be the king, nevertheless, if there are no ksherim, malchus still belongs to David. So therefore, lochaches. Novi Shehemid Melech Mishah Shiftei Yisrael Vayosa Melech Holech B'derech HaTorah B'mitzvah Minolcham Elchamos Hashem. If a prophet raises up a king from another tribe, and that king's a good king, follows the Torah, does the mitzvahs, fights God's battles, Hareza Melech, he's a Melech B'chol Mitzvahs HaMalchus Nohagospo, and all the commandments pertaining to the king apply to him as well. Afal pisha ikar hamalchus leDavid. Even though the essential malchus is David's, v'yeh mibon of melech, and ideally one of his sons should be the king. You see from Achi Hashiloni that you could raise other kings. They'll be kings, but still, even if another king takes over, malchus David still endures. And halacha tes, malchus beis David heim haomdim leolam. Malchus Beis David exists forever. Shenema kisacho yeh nachon ad olam. Aval im yamod melech mishai Yisrael tipasek ha-malchus mi-beiso. If another king arises, he could serve. Sanhedrin chooses him. But the malchus, that malchus does not last. As you see, Yeravam ben Nevat became the king, but the Navi said to him, ach lo kol hayamim, won't be forever. Your day, that's it, but you won't be succeeded. Now the Ravid says that it seems to be a contradiction, but in fact it's not. Elvada Kenu, Ilu Hayyaravam Melech Kasher Bonav Ksherm Lahaisa Malchus Posekus Mizaro. If Yeravam had been a fit king, he was a terrible Rasha, but if he had been a fit king, so he could have served as well as his children. But Aval Haisa Shneel Malchus Beis David, Kagon Kesar Plag Kesar, he would have still been secondary to Malchus Beis David. You know, you could have a king of Israel, and he's the king, and he's treated as the king, has to carry Sefer Torah, etc. But he is still secondary to Malchus Beis David. And if in fact a king or a person would arise, a good fit to be the king, the Sanhedrin will make the Ben David the king. Yes?
Is the Malchus Beis David, the concept of Malchus Beis David, created now, or was it created at the time of creation? Ben Ashmash was one of those. When is the whole concept?
Look, there's a medrash that says that Shmo Shel Mashiach was one of the creations. But nonetheless, you see, Malchus Beis David as an institution was created here. The concept of having a Malchus Hashem on earth, that has to predate creation, as we'll see. That's part of the way God created the world. Why that is so and how it was so, that's what we'll try to understand tonight. Shneel Malchus means he's secondary. He's a king, but he's not the full-fledged king. He can serve as a king, and people call him king, but he always has to defer to a Melech Ben David, if such would arise. So you could have 10 straight kings. Well, no, because you did have Malchus Yisrael in the first Beis Hamikdash era after the kingdom split, and those kings very often were father and son, and they had the din of Malchei Yisrael, but they're still secondary to Malchei Beis David. Always secondary. Has to be that way. What are the features of Malchus Beis David that are familiar to us? Look at number 7. It's the Gemara Brachos, Daf Mem Tesam and Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baracha Mishum Rabbeinu. Kol shlo amar bris v'torah b'virchas ha'aretz u'malchus bezdav b'nei Yerushalayim lo yotz dechavasa. Person says b'virchas ha'mazon. If you don't mention in Nogluch Hashem Elkeinu, bris chasamtu v'sereinu, bal tarascha sheli manatanu, you're not yotze. You have to mention bris and Torah. And in the bracha of b'nei Yerushalayim, rachem, which I mentioned before, if you don't mention about malchus bezdav mishichecha, you're not yotze. B'virchas ha'mazon. Ad kedekach. So the Rambam explains in 10, it's in Hilchas Brachos, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet. V'chol mi shel omar malchus beis David b'vracha zo, lo yotzi dechavaso, mipnei shehi inyan ha-bracha. That is the bracha. See, we think of Bnei Yerushalayim as the city, or the Beis HaMikdash. Rambam says, no. The bracha of Bnei Yerushalayim, starting Rachem, ending Bnei Yerushalayim, is essentially about malchus beis David. There's no complete consolation to the Jewish people except through the restoration of the kingdom of the house of David. They have to go together. Further, look at 9. Amar Rabbi Yossi, it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Yud Amar Aleph. Rabbi Yossi Kalacholik al Malchus Beis David Roy Lakisha Nochosh. A person who argues, challenges Malchus Beis David, he should be bitten by a snake, stricken by a snake, meaning he has no existence. To even challenge a melech of Beis David is its own iser. And as you see, the extent to which Malchus Beis David was raised to a very high level, there's no more telling chazal than a very simple one that occurs several times in Shas. Look at number 12. This is from Yoma Daf Chafei Amar Aleph. Amamar, Ein Yeshiva Bazor Elu Lamalchus Lamalchei Beis David Bilvad. The only people who can sit in the Azara, come to the Azara, the court of the Beis HaMikdash, everybody has to stand except Malchus Beis David. That's the next pasuk, which I didn't cite. David came and sat before the Aron HaKodesh. Only Malchei Beis David can sit in the Azara. Everybody else stands. Obviously then, that special privilege is teaching us that on some level, Malchus Beis David represents the Kvod Shechina, represents the glory of the Divine Presence. So therefore, we don't sit in the Azara because it would be an insult. It would be disrespectful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to sit in the Beis Hashem. David and his heirs can sit in the Beis Hashem, Malchei Beis David. Why? Because they represent the Kvod Shechina. So to honor the Melech Yisrael is akin to honoring the Melech Malchei Hamlochim. What's David's response? I mentioned before, it's humility. Look at number 2. So David says, "Mi anochi Hashem Elokim, mi beisi kaviyosani ad halom. Who am I, God? Who is my household? You brought me this far." Meaning, David had no expectation that his kingdom would endure forever. "Vatiktan od zos beinecha Hashem Elokim." And the fact that I became king, as if that's not enough, this was still insufficient in God's eyes. You spoke even of your servant's household in the distant future. And this is a fitting for great people. What else can David say to you? You know me. Because of your word, your desire, that you've bestowed this greatness upon me, inform me of it. Al kein godalta Hashem Elokim. It's because you are great. We say this fragment of the davening, by the way, because there's none like you, and there's no God besides you. Bechol asher shomanu bozneinu, according to all that we've heard with our ears. Umi, now pasuk familiar to all of us. Umi kamcha ki Yisrael goyechad baretz, and who is like your people, Israel, a unique nation on earth. Asher ochu elokim uvdos lo la'om lasum lo shem lasos lachem agdulo v'noros l'artzecha, that God went forth to redeem them performed wonders, drove out nations and their gods from before you, the people that you've redeemed from Egypt, you established yourself for yourself, your people, as a people for you forever. Vata Hashem Ayisa Lohem Lelokim. And now David says, through this house, your name should be glorified forever. V'igdal Shemcha Olam Lemar Hashem Tzvakos Elokim HaYisrael U'beis Abdecha David Yeh Nachon Levanecha. May the house of David, your servant, be remain firm before you. V'chulei. It just ends with a bracha. U'mibirchascha Yivarach Beis Abdecha Olam. From your blessing, may the house of your servant be blessed forever. In essence, David just accepts the bracha, the gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Understanding? We imagine so, but we have to understand also why this happened now. By the way, Agavurcha, look at number 8 in the Ralbag. So David just accepts with humility, expression of gratitude. What's Goyecha? It doesn't mean one, it means unique, singular. Miyuchad Avodas Hashem Yisbarach. Unique, specially designated for service of Hashem. Kihu Holech Lifdosam Lo La'am, because he went and redeemed us to be his people. And for that reason, he magnified the wonders that he did when we left Egypt. L'maniya Lo La'am Yolohem Le'lokim. He did great wonders for us also. What's Goy Echad Baretz? Unique. Miyuchad Levodas Hashem Yisparach. That's what it means. So let's understand. Why is this so? Why is this so? All right, turn the page, and we'll look at a number of different approaches. First, Rav Dessler, in the fourth chelik of Michta Me'eliyahu, it's number 14 here. What's the Geder HaMelech? Generally, what's the framework, the parameters of Malchus? Because you know, we discussed this last year, the Torah is somewhat equivocal when it comes to a Melech. There's a Machlokas Rishonim, whether it's a mitzvah not. So Paskin, it is a mitzvah. But it doesn't seem to be a mitzvah they had to do right away. It's almost a B'dievet type of mitzvah. And then when it was approached, as you remember, they came and asked Shmuel for a king. He was critical of them. So Rav Dessler writes, Kishinismatu halavavos hutzruchu lemelech. When people's hearts became smaller, meaning they became less pious, less virtuous, less connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, haynu ish nivchar meinovi v'nitan lo kvod malchus kedei lachriach esom l'shtabed al Hashem Yisparach. So then there arose a person chosen by the Novi, given the honor of royalty in order to force the people to serve God. This is a lower level, to be forced externally. You see, ideally, Malchus is an external rod that keeps people faithful to Torah. So ideally, it's better not to need it. Yet, Malchus Beis David, he continues, he connected Sviras Malchus. It corresponds to the sphere of Malchus, meaning that concept of royalty which adheres, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Madrego b'yiras kvod yisparach. It's a level in reverence for God. V'hi shleimus geder melech shehu siyua mibachutz l'shtablus l'rotzon Hashem. It represents, Malchus Beis David does, the perfection of the framework of the king, which is an external aid to encourage or coerce others to do God's will. V'nei David ba miYehuda, the Maharal writes, the Yehuda hu bechinas moach, he's the brain of Klal Yisrael. Shetafkid haMelech ba'am hu ketafkid haSeichel ba'adam. The role of the king is to be a person Seichel. What's a Seichel? So we know. A person has a rotzon to do something. What stops him? Seichel. That's unwise. The Seichel is in control of a broader range of alternatives. He sees not only the possibilities, but the consequences of actions. So the Seichel, we always tell children, sometimes adults too, use your Seichel. The Melech is the Seichel of the Om. Malchus Beis David is the quintessential Malchus. It's an external reminder of God that impacts on people's minds and inclines them towards Avodas Hashem. That is the symbol of Melech. But it's not just any Melech. It has to be a Melech from Yehuda. Because Yehuda, the Maharal said, represents the Moach. That's the Seichel. It's still external, but the knowledge that such a king exists itself keeps people on the straight and narrow. The knowledge that such a king exists. Yes, how can Malchus be both a Yerida and a very high Madrega? It's really no conflict. Because ideally, we wouldn't need the external rod. We said Nasav and Ishma, and that's it. We'd be bounded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But people are weak. So therefore, they need a representation of the royal aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? So how do we look at Kadosh Baruch Hu? We say the Davin, God's Melech Memes U'Mechaya. That's really what a king is. A king of Israel has the power of life and death. So for people who have a more difficult time recognizing on a philosophical level an abstract God, so the king is a reminder of the Kvod Shemayim. And that's why he's endowed with Kvod Shemayim. Further, look at 14. The Maharal continues, this time it's in Chela Gimel. V'gam l'doros nisgala hefresh hazeh yadua shetachlis ha-malchus b'Yisrael hi l'shamesh ki siyu al ha-mlochas ha-kadosh baruch hu al-lovavus Yisrael. The whole purpose of a royalty, monarchy in Israel, is to serve as an aid to anointing God over the hearts of the Jewish people. Ach Yisrael yichalim la'los l'madrego ramo, but we can reach a high level. L'amlichas HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'lis siyu ashel hanoga malchutis, without having this external aid, to answer your question. V'akein hizbir lem Shmuel Hanavi olav ha'shalom shechotu b'vakasham b'viksham melech. So therefore Shmuel explained why they sinned. Because he said, V'ashem elokeichem hu malchichem. All you need is God, you need a human king for. But they in fact needed a human king. Once they reached the level, descended to the level where they needed a king, so it was apparent that they could not deal directly with God, so they needed the trappings of royalty in their midst. So God agreed. Shaul's kingdom did not last because he could not destroy Amalek. Al-Kain Yishara Malchusa B'chinas Sheulah. Sheul means borrowed. So literally borrowed the Malucha from, it was a temporary Malucha, borrowed from Shevet Yehuda. Ach Keshofia Malchus Beis David Mibnei Leo Zochu Shetishtamesh HaMalchus B'kochol Anhiges Om Lishtabed L'Malchus Shamayim. When Malchus Beis David arose, so that no longer is a borrowed melucha, that is essential melucha, and they use Malchus in its full strength and splendor in order to guide the people to serve Hashem. Okay, if you look at the bottom, 15, so in fact what Rav Dessler is saying is that a king is really an aid and an assist to us in order to help us crown God over ourselves, even though we are inherently capable of doing that without a king. It's like, I don't say lahavdil because it's really identical, it's like a child needs rules, needs discipline, needs threats even, in order to have a structure. So you say the child should know on his own when to go to sleep, to brush his teeth, etc. It's all true. But they need a structure, a reminder of the consequences. Or, as we all know, schools operate based on this. Why are there tests? The assumption is, if there are no tests, nobody would have any incentive to learn. They wouldn't study. So you make tests in order to have some coercive way of enforcing their knowledge. real Malchus waited for David, and David's Malchus is permanent. This Rav Kook said, Ma'amarei Riyan 15. You recall that Shmuel took the Pach HaShemen by Yitzhak al-Rosho. He took a jug of oil, poured it on Shaul's head. But he took a Keren HaShemen, a horn of oil, and poured that on David's head. So Chazal say, David Shlomo Shenimshechu BeKeren, Nimshecha Malchusam. Shaul V'yev Shenimshechu BePach, Lo Nimshecha Malchusam. If you're anointed with a horn, that malchus endures. With a pach, it doesn't. That is to say, malchut ha-pach hayta aroid, zmanid. The kingdom of the jug, that is temporary. That's temporal. Vilu malchut ha-keren hayta malchut kvua nitzchit. The malchut of keren, that is eternal. So shol misamel tochen ha-dagod ha-zmani ha-uchel ha-klal. Shol symbolizes the temporary worries, the short-term concerns of the klal. But David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayom, David Mesamel Atochen Chayel V'Kiyum HaNitzchi Shaluma. David represents the eternity of the Jewish people. So he was anointed differently, and he assumed the monarchy in a different way, and he embraced the monarchy in a different way, and he carried the functions of the monarchy in a different way, and therefore he recognized that his malchus is different, and that was confirmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at number 18. Here Rav Dessler says again in Chayla Gimel, Vatilbash Malchus, this Vatilbash Esther Malchus, she came to Achashverosh the first time dressed in royalty. So Chazal say, what's the malchus? Luvasho Ruch HaKodesh. So Chazal explains, Shemidas HaMalchus U'madregas Ruch HaKodesh Zehu Sein. The Midas HaMalchus, royalty and Ruach HaKodesh are identical. Yesh Malchushi Memsheles Chamsonus. There's a type of cruel, coercive monarchy. Chamson means to appropriate things improperly. Shamoshel Meshabed Esom Matarosov Neged Ritzonim. The king rules against the will of the people. Omna Midas HaMalchus Hamitis. He, as the Maral explains, Almichai Sakadosh Baruch Hu Alaam. The real way of the king, the true king, is not to coerce the people to do something they don't want to do, but to get the people to accept the Malchus Hashem. In other words, that's the whole task. Malchus Yisrael is not designed to ensure the cult of personality of the king, but to get the people to recognize and acknowledge the Malchus Hashem. L'odias kum de'akash HaKadosh Baruch Hu melech ha'kol ha'aretz. V'chol atzlochosenu v'ashreinu v'asharenu heim lios abadav. All success of the king and the success of the nation is dependent on becoming a servant of Hashem. Zeu tafkido shel melech ha-mashiach. That's the whole role of the melech ha-mashiach. To get the Jews and then the whole world to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes through us, and then it extends through us to them as well. That's Malchus. Malchus is not a royalty as the nations of the world recognize it. Malchus is literally a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on earth. I can't be literal. It's a representation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on earth in the sense that Malchusa de Aro kein Malchusa de Rakia. The Malchus on earth, Malchus Beis David, is in fact God's government on earth. And that's how it's perceived. That's why it's connected to Ruach HaKodesh. And that's why the Melech HaMashiach is not just the Mashiach for us, but it's the Mashiach for all of mankind. Because if Klal Yisrael comes through the Melech HaMashiach to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Malchus Hashem, ipso facto, the entire world does as well. That's Malchus Beis David. Malcha Yisrael, we'll see in a moment in a more vivid sense, but Malcha Yisrael really deals with certain material aspects of Jewish life. They're kings, and they have the trappings of monarchy, and they deserve the respect of monarchs, but they don't carry the same spiritual weight, spiritual authenticity, as Malchus Beis David. They exist in a different realm, and that's why the kingdoms do not endure, because they're kings like all our other kings. What's the nature of David? How was this reflected originally? So look at 16. Again, you recall from last year, when Shmuel could not figure out which one of the sons of Yishai he should anoint. So finally God said, go, this, he went to all of them, the youngest. They brought Vayehu Vuad Moni, Imifei, Navitovri, Vayomar Hashem, Kum Meshachev Ki Zehu. Arise, anoint him, Ki Zehu, because he is the one. Ki Zehu. So the Mishpat Zav comments. Zehu is really a somewhat of a contradiction. Why? Zehu hem l'shono shal nitzchius v'kim t'midi. Zehu means permanence, eternity. Kolmar. Shadavid ha-melech hiya lo malchus nitzchius. Zehu, this is the one. As we say, David melech ruchai v'kayam. Now, zehu b'olam ha-zeh, zehu b'olam ha-boh. He exists forever, this and the next world. Vot nir ha-lomar t'zehu l'shon nocha ha-nemer al-dover ha-nir la-ayin. V'hu nemer al dover hanistar v'nelo she'ena omei k'neged ha'ayin. Interesting approach. Zehu really is contradictory. Zeh is something that you could see. Zeh, this, something you point to. Something that has substance and is apparent in the world. What's who? Who's a pronoun? He. Meaning it's reflective of something which is not necessarily before us. So he says, that is Malchus Beis David. Zehu. It reflects its chiyus, true, but it's zeh, it's seen, and it's who, it's unseen. That is to say, there are two aspects to Malchus Beis David. One in which it will be apparent for part of history, and one in which will it will not be apparent for part of history, for a good part of history. That's zehu. It is, and who? It exists, but we can't see it. That's why Malchus Beis David is comparable to the moon. That's how we say, Kiddush Levana, David Melcher Chai V'Kayom, because that's Malchus Beis David. Just like the moon is seen, and then it's not seen. It waxes, and then it wanes. That is Malchus Beis David, that is David himself, Ki Zehu. So on the one hand, when it appears, it's glorious. But when it disappears, you should not think it doesn't exist. On the contrary, it does exist. And David's greatness was such that his Malchus stands even in his absence. Even for centuries when we have no glimpse of it, Malchus Beis David exists. And that's why, to go back to the first point, one of the first points I raised, we say in Brichas HaMazon, Rachem Hashem Elokeinu, Amcha Yisrael, yes, Malchus Beis David Mishichecho. God, we ask God's, we invoke God's compassion on Malchus Beis David when it's not apparent, because it exists even though it is not apparent before us. What next? Let's look at Rav Kook in 19. So this is a long essay Rav Kook wrote called Kirvat Elokim, Drawing Near to God. It's a little complicated, but we'll just read a few sentences. We'll get a little taste of what he's saying. I think, maybe, hopefully we'll understand some of it. B'shtalmut ha'ashpa shel ha'shifa klalu l'kirvat Elokim ha'kolot ha'eto makula. In the fulfillment of the influence of the general yearning that the nation has for God, Otau ma sha nefesh halumit shela yemesugela biyoteshet etkaleze bikirba, that nation whose national soul is suited for this type of revelation, hinenu motzim shuv shichozer to motzei la merkaz yeshiva tocha pnima, we find that it returns and finds some personification at its core. B'nefesh mishuchlelet hamishukah me'alach hatamsiti shechayu makulo, from some perfected soul that's animated by the life of the nation itself. Meaning at the core of a nation's strivings for God, there is a personality which in which those strivings are most concentrated. That personality is Malchus Beis David. That's the Melech. He says at the end, Zoti Mekor Malchut Yisrael, Kviat chotama shel ha'shifa kalut shebu makula bakan ba'ofen boleit v'kayim lad. David melzer chay v'kayim. So nefesh David ain't on the motzim chayim pratim mufradim v'fnei atzvam. In David's life, in his soul, we don't find a separate existence. Rather, David is really a continuum. is what he's saying. A person's soul is naturally drawn to God, and a nation's the same way. In a nation, though, there's an exalted soul that embodies this yearning. David's soul was part of a continuum. As Chazal say, Shufrei de Yaakov avinu mein shufrei de Adam HaRishon. The beauty of Yaakov was the essence of the beauty of Adam HaRishon. That is to say, Yaakov was able to take the orah klalit, the light, the illumination. That would say a different sense. The closeness, the consciousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Adam HaRishon had, and he reflected that as well, and that was his beauty. And David HaMelech had that same beauty, quotes the famous Zohar at the bottom, that Adam Kadmo Yav Chayin LaDavid Midilei, V'Avon Da'alma Yavulei Midilhon, that Adam HaRishon gave some of his own life to David HaMelech. We all know this famous Medrash. It's a Zohar. Adam gave his own life to David, and the Av HaOlam, Avinu Shebashamayim, gave also life, so to speak, to David. What does it mean? So obviously when, you know, every child learns that David gave 70 years to David HaMelech, what it means is that David was the continuation of Adam HaRishon. If Adam HaRishon was the first person, and the entire world was his Beis HaMikdash, and he was the one who represented Malchus Hashem because he was the only creature recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that became David's role. So Shufrei de Yaakov is Ken Shufrei de Adam HaRishon, so too David HaMelech as well. Malchus Beis David therefore represents not just some temporal monarchy, but it's the ideal striving for godliness that is concentrated within Klal Yisrael and permeates Klal Yisrael. So the Melech is the core, and from the Melech's yearnings, those emanate outward and draw all the rest of us to Avodas Hashem and Hakaras Hashem as well. How perfected is David? So look at number 20. 20, again from Rav Kook, Mamre Riyo. This is actually from Rav Kook's Hesped for Theater Herzl, which is now almost 101 years old. Just a few months after Rav Kook became the chief rabbi of Yafo, Theater Herzl died, Binyamin Zev Herzl. So Rav Kook had a very unique approach to Herzl, and he says in 20 as follows. He actually compared Herzl, not in terms of persona, but in terms of purpose or goal, to Mashiach ben Yosef. So Chazal speak about Mashiach ben Yosef as the precursor to Mashiach ben David. So he said you have to understand why there are two Mashiachim, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. The basic goal is there should be one Mashiach, one Melech. David Abdina Sila Hemlalam, you only need David. Amnam Kishem Shayotsar Hashem Yizbarach Baadam Agufa Neshama, just like God created a man a body and a soul, Ulu Matama Kochot Hanotim Machzikim Agufa Mechonol Shacholol Patro, Vechena Kochot Machzikim Kochan Neshama Ruchanit Umadnim Umishachalim Ota. So just like man has a guf and a shama, so too God created forces which incline the body towards its health and sustenance, and the soul towards its health and sustenance. B'tachlit ha-shleimut hu she'i ha-guf chazak v'amitzu mefutach karui. The purpose of physical perfection is the body should be strong, develop properly, v'neshama v'riya v'chazak u'mushuchlat, the soul perfected as well. Moshechet ha-chareh b'kocha adir kol kochot ha-guf ha-mitzim v'chazakim. Good. What's the purpose? Chayfetz Elyon Baruch Hu Ba'olamo, to do God's will in the world, just like that exists in a person. Kein Echim BeYisrael BeYichud Shnei Eila Kochot. So too, we have the same two forces in our national lives: one which builds the physical, materialistic infrastructure of our national lives, and the other Abasis Hanachon LaKol HaTochniyot HaGdolah Kedusha BeYisrael Mitzuyanim Bahen. I'm sorry, that's the first one. The Chomer, to build the Chomer. And the second one, Kochlis Shichlo Ruchniut Batzma, the second force to perfect, to found the spiritual foundation. The difference is, in terms of the first, the Chomer, so we're just like everybody else. In terms of the other, Atzad Hasheni, Anyan Hamityachel Yisrael Atzmam, that's Hashem Bodol Yanechem, that's unique to the Jewish people. So he says, that's Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef builds the material infrastructure of the land of Israel. So in context, what he's saying is that this is the role that Herzl tried to perform, to rebuild the Jewish commonwealth in the land of Israel in terms of its physical characteristics, in order to prepare the way for Bias Mashiach ben David. That's Mashiach ben Yosef, of course, because Yosef played the same role vis-a-vis Yehuda. The Yosef who Amashbir, he was the one who sustained the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, sustained the whole world for that matter. He's the physical sustainer, as opposed to Yehuda, because Yehuda Shalach of Haros, Yehuda went to establish a Beis HaTalmud. What's the key point here? This dichotomy of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, only arose after the split in the kingdom. Because David himself represented both aspects. And that's a very important point. It's only because the Malchus split after Shlomo's lifetime that this division of responsibilities was needed. That's why Yechezkel says, read this Haftorah of Vayigash, that ultimately Eitz Yudah and Eitz Yosef will be one again. Because you won't need, Eitz Ephraim will be one, you won't need to. We were not zochet to that. Even we're still on a level we're not zochet to what Malchus Beis David. So that's why as the Gula unfolds, it unfolds only through the two Mashiachim, Mashiach ben Yosef and the Mashiach ben David. With this very important caveat that Rav Dessler writes in number 21, Chelek Dalet, the Sod HaGaula, that I mention here with some trepidation, but it's important to know Ma'olech. This is the way of the future Geula. This is what Chazal laid out for us. The specifics we may not know, but the generalities we unfortunately can see before us. Tchila Mashiach ben Yosef. Settlement, land, commerce, industry, factories, agriculture, etc. That's what he does. The problem of Mashiach ben Yosef, what does Chazal say? He's killed. That is to say, Ein lo zekiyum, doesn't last. Kayadua, Shesoris greida Ein lo kiyum, just physical, material Hesoris has no permanence in Jewish life. No permanence. Ukshemagia matzov shalachisheno tovasoris chazoka mila'elo. So when it comes time for achisheno, when we're really down, then the Hesoris comes from above, like Melech Koshe Kehoma. V'acharkach, Vachar calls Yovo Mashiach ben David, Bevchinas Hasechel Ashofe Mila'elo. Mashiach ben David, as we said before, is the Seichel. The Seichel meaning the one who puts it all together, the one who could explain why we're here, why we're there, why the land is important. It's not a question of this real estate versus that real estate. It's a question of building the Malchus Hashem on earth. So that's the order. Mashiach ben Yosef does not succeed. He succeeds temporally, builds the state, but it has no endurance. It has no permanence. It lays the groundwork for Mashiach ben David, who's the ideal king, philosopher and warrior, Talmud Chacham and Melech. That is Mashiach ben David. So in our day, we're not Nevi'im, of course, but based on this, it would not be surprising. Surprise, we said, but not be surprising if the political state, which is the work of Mashiach ben Yosef, collapses in the future. Because as long as all there is a material foundation, then it can't endure. Because then we think that's all we need. Flag, anthem, basketball team, diamonds, oranges, high tech, etc. The beginning of the end. That's correct. It's very possible. Rahman al-Islam, it's very possible. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. The beginning of the end. And then, unfortunately, Mashiach ben Yosef is killed in a terrible battle. So therefore, Rahman al-Islam has terrible suffering ahead as a result of the collapse. But the security that we have, the confidence that we have, is that Mashiach ben David arise on those foundations. And that's the Navi Zechariah, Yechezkel, that's what they're talking about. If you just look at the words of the Novi, that's what's unfolding. And you see, it's an amazing phenomenon. that, like everything else in Israel, is unpredictable. Who would think that the builders of the state would set about dismantling the state? That's exactly what they're doing. Dismantling in terms of settlements, in terms of democracy, in terms of judiciary, just dismantling it. Who would think? You'd think the enemies would do that. The enemies of Israel are powerless to do anything against Israel. It's the Jews themselves. So you see, Ad Kan, Mashiach ben Yosef, I don't even want to say the Mashiach ben Yosef, but Ad Kan, the physical builders of the land can go only so far. And because they're not imbued with a true understanding of what the land of Israel is, what Malchus based off it is, it can't go beyond a certain point. And that's unfortunately the reality that's before us today. All this to pave the way for Mashiach ben David. Because if we could do it ourselves, then we think there's no need for Mashiach ben David. Why do we need Malchus Hashem? We've done everything. Sharon we elect, Netanyahu we elect, all these characters we elect. So what do we need a Mashiach for? You see how much we need Mashiach. Because there's no person in Eretz Yisrael who's even worthy of leadership. I shouldn't say that. I think there are three or four. Malchus Beis David is a reflection of God's kingdom. That's Malchus Adir Ara ke Malchus Adir Akia. Thus, only Malchus Beis David can build the Beis HaMikdash. Hence, this whole concept arises here. When David says he wants to build the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you can't. Like we said last time, the Malbim says, a dynasty has to. So Shlomo will do it because he's the second generation. But that's the proper role of Malchus Beis David. If you have desires to build a Beis HaMikdash, so God says, then you're the man. And this is the dynasty. And this is Kisach HaYenochon Le'olam, your Adolam, your throne will remain firm forever. Only Malchus Beis David can defeat Amalek. So you see, whatever nice things we want to say about the government of Israel are not nice things. They're not going to defeat Amalek, and they're not building the Beis HaMikdash, because that's the job of Malchus Beis David. And until Amalek is defeated, the Beis HaMikdash cannot be built. It's amazing how all these concepts, all these endeavors are commingled because of the perplexity of our times, the confusion which is so extant. These guys want to build a Beis HaMikdash, these guys want to attack Amalek here, want to fight there. It's all a jumble because we're just struggling to find our way through the words of Chazal, through the words of the Nevi'im, understanding what our derech is in life. The fact is, when, as the Rambam says, the Gemara says, the three mitzvahs incumbent upon us went to the land of Israel. Appoint a king, defeat Amalek, build the Beis HaMikdash. And in fact, that's the order. You need a king, then you have to defeat Amalek. If you can't defeat Amalek, the Beis HaMikdash won't survive. So what's the point? But only a king can defeat Amalek, because it's not just a war of weapons. It's a war of the spirit. If we don't have the Ruchnius, we can't win that war. So too, once we win that war against our external enemies, we can defeat our internal enemies. The Yetzirah, Sor Shabisa. We defeat the Yetzirah, only then we're worthy of the Beis HaMikdash. People can traipse on the Har Bayis all they want, and it's not building the Beis HaMikdash, because we're not ready for the Beis HaMikdash. You need Melech from Beis David, you need Mechias HaMalek, only then do you have Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's why Malchus Beis David is really one of the highest, perhaps the highest aspiration of Jewish national life. That's our goal, that's our dream, we say it all the time. David Melchus Chai V'Kayom, in Rachem, in Shmon Esra, Tzenach, David Avducha Meir Tatzmiach. All the Bakashas lead up to one. As Tzenach, David Avducha Meir Tatzmiach. What's Tatzmiach? Has to sprout. How do you cause something to sprout? You have to plant seeds, you have to water it, nurture it, you have to watch it grow slowly. That's it. If it's not planted, the seeds are not there, Tzemach David will not grow. But we can plant the Tzemach David. That's what we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu. God's Matzmiach, Keren Yeshua, the horn of salvation is planted by Kadosh Baruch Hu and it sprouts within our midst, if only we're worthy. That is our dream. That's our goal. That's the highest aspiration of our national lives. And that's why we longingly await and say again and again, Bias Mashiach ben David Zidkenu, B'mehera B'yameinu. Amen. Okay.